Crank that music! Let's go!
You earn it. Nobody can give it to you. You can't buy it. You can't, you know, talk about it. You gotta go out there and earn it. It's a process, and it's day after day after day after day.
Welcome to the Chip Marble Podcast. Today's guest is Trey Timeless. Trey is a producer from Toronto that I met through some good friends of mine who all went to Carleton University. And after I finished my bachelor's degree at Brock in Niagara, I went up to Ottawa to live there with Trey for a year. And I always noticed how hard he worked and how he had developed his craft to a point where, you know, he's making some really great stuff and always busy, always working. He's one of those enlightened people that you'll have a conversation with, and for me it really put into perspective just how much more work I have to put in. Really double down on the focus and effort that I'm putting in to chasing my dream. And speaking with Trey, here's a guy that works incredibly hard and he's been making music for a long time. He has a bachelor's degree in math. He makes phenomenal music with really his own distinct sound, and he can dunk a basketball. A truly dynamic individual who has a lifetime invitation to the Chip Marble Podcast. Even after we turned the mics off, we talked for another 2 hours. It's great stuff. Here he is, Trey Timeless. Music for a long time, and you know, you make sacrifices, you put in a lot of hours. I always admire people who devote themselves to a life where, you know, they're getting in touch with something meaningful. So thanks for coming in today, man.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Not a problem at all.
And you know, usually when people work really hard, like I lived with you for a year, I've kind of seen your process, how much dedication you put in. People on the outside looking in don't really understand maybe why, what's kind of motivated you, inspired you to do this. And I'm wondering, what is it about music that gets you in touch with something that motivates you to work like that?
Oh, man, that's crazy. Like, music just, like, how do I even say it, man? Like music brings me to a place, right? No matter what I'm listening to, it always brings me back to a place that's familiar. So it's something I'm really passionate about. So when it comes to the work ethic, it comes easily because it's not work. It's something that I enjoy doing. Like, it brings me to a place that I want to be. So I just keep wanting, I always want to work at it. I always want to work at it because I like that feeling of when I'm being productive in music. Everything that comes with it, whether it's emotional, physical, all the aspects that come with it, that's what I enjoy when it comes to making music.
And you've been making music for quite a while. You like started in high school, or I know you were playing long before that, right?
Yeah, I started production grade 6, but I've been I started piano when I was 4 years old. Like, my mom sings and plays piano, so I've been in music my whole life. So yeah, I started production when I was grade six. I started playing instruments like guitar and bass grade 8, and from there it's just, I haven't stopped.
And then, did you always approach it with a certain ethic and like a certain motor or intensity?
Oh, all the time, man, all the time. Because when I listen to music, it's never, for fun. It's always, it's kind of weird. I'm always dissecting, and I'm always trying to get to that new level. So anytime I am working on my own stuff, I'm always, I always have a level that I'm trying to achieve by what I've been inspired by last. So I'm always working really, really hard at it, and I'm always motivated by something. It's always different, but it's always by something.
And, yeah, you obviously had a big love for music. It's running in the family. And then you go to university, and that's where we find made contact, right?
Yeah,
you went to university, Carleton, with some friends, of mutual friends. And I'm wondering, you know, you were studying a math major, right?
Yeah.
So with all this music and all this intensity and passion, why approach a math degree?
Yeah, my approach to everything was not really to close any doors, because the whole aspect with math was more so even academically. Like, just in school, I had the ability to do those things. So, and I had an interest in those things. So I'm like, why not try and do as many things as I can and open as many doors as I can, right? It's like I could have closed one door and just went through one completely. But the way I approached it was I'm young. I don't know what exactly I'm going to end up in when my life comes to an end. But so I was like, let me open as many doors as possible. So I was able to achieve that degree while doing music. So I didn't close anything. Now I have the degree and I'm still doing music, so I could do whatever I want.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will say that. Like, okay, you think you know what you want, but keep your doors open. And especially at a young age, pretty smart to keep your doors open. But then there's a flip side of like, well, you do want to specialize. You don't want to be a master of none and be too generalist with your approach.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. And I've thought of that too, because like, because it is a demanding program, and music does have its aspects of being demanding. So it does take away from the other at times. But at the same time, like, if you are really good with your time management, you can put in the amount of hours that you got to put into each one and still be really, really good at both and still be able to have the skills of both. But then when it comes down to it, as you keep doing it, you start realizing which ones you want to do more or which you want to get into more, and you start putting a little bit more time into that, and then slowly you become a master at one of them. But you're not, I wouldn't say, jack of all trades in either, right? You're kind of like at a level, if you time management properly, you manage your time properly, you'll be at a level where you can be successful in each one. But then when you start putting more time into the one that you want to do, you'll be even better at it. So that's kind of how I approached it.
Yeah, it's like any undertaking you do, you're gonna try to bring the best version of yourself, just because I guess that's going to really explore what this could bring to your life.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's interesting. But not everybody kind of has that motor. I think people will do something they like and maybe not go all in, especially in school. You see a lot of people that, you know, they have a passion for whatever this is, but especially they're like locked in school. They don't have the perspective to like do the thing that they're here for. But that's interesting, because you were studying something, but you were doing something entirely different on the side.
So. Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool, man.
Oh, yeah. It was tough. And I mean, it really just comes down to discipline. You only have 24 hours in a day and you can't get time back. So you got to spend each moment like it's your last, because you're never going to get that moment back. And once you approach it like that, you'll get a lot done.
It like develops momentum too, right? Those positive work habits, you know, they can develop momentum and it becomes your operating system. You know, you don't even have to think about it. But you can tear that down pretty quickly with a few days of bad ethic,
Exactly. And that's why it just comes back to discipline, man, because it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy, but if you know what you want to do and you're doing things that you're passionate about, like, it makes it just that much easier to stay on task. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one thing. Like, I was doing things I was passionate about, not just because, oh, I just need to go to school. Like, it was like I was in a program I wanted to do, and I'm doing like a craft that I want to do. So it's not work. It's something I want to do. So it makes it easier to put the time in.
But it's something that I could kind of observe living with you. You have conscious effort to develop those time management strategies and constantly experimenting. Like, you had that journal, I remember at one point, like a really detailed, nuanced system of cataloging your work throughout the day. And I guess experimenting with things like that is a huge part of really honing in on the ultimate work ethic, not settling for just
absolutely, man. You got to find everyone's different, and everyone has different things that makes them focus better. And you just got to spend the time and find what it is that will make you more efficient in life. And that's kind of where I spent a lot of time trying to figure out and experimenting and to see, like, what will make me better at what I got to do.
Was there a time that you kind of mentally, like, flipped from the math studies to music? What was that point?
Pretty much
orientation.
As soon as I graduated, I flipped the switch, like, 180 degrees, like, over to music, and I went hard at music from then. But like, even like now and then, like, I'll kind of pick up an old textbook and kind of refresh my mind on stuff. So I'm not gonna just let that knowledge go to waste. But like, it was like heavily music. So yeah, it's like, I guess you could say, yeah, because right before I graduated, maybe the year before, the switch was fully on the academics. Like, I was hardly doing much music. And then when I finished, I flipped the switch all the way back and hardcore music. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess you kind of trial and error, right? You kind of see what's happening. And obviously, you know, now the focus is you want to make music and sustain yourself long term with these projects that are inherently satisfying and that you just feel compelled to do, you know, naturally. It's not any kind of extrinsic motivation, which is, I think, what we're all looking for. But did you have any misconceptions about, you know, when you finally got into the craft, did you have any, like, was it different than what you thought it would be like, you know, that journey of trying to turn this into a professional endeavor?
Yeah, man, it's everyone, okay, when you start making music, right, whether you're an artist or whatever, everyone thinks that, oh, that first song that they think is like the best thing is going to be the one that blows up. But man, it's a thing of patience, guy. Like you think that, oh, if I do this, I'll be here. But when you do those things, you realize you're not there, right? And it's a thing of patience. You just got to keep working at it, and you can't get discouraged. Like, you can't let the highs get too high and the lows get too low. You got to keep level. Because, like, when the highs get really high and then you put out something else and it's not, like, what you expected, you crash, right? And then you can't get too low because then you're just demotivating yourself. You got to, like, keep things in perspective at all times and just kind of stay level and just keep working. Just keep going.
So did you have those experiences where you would allow yourself to get that high and then, you know, the inevitable kind of opposite reaction? So
Yeah, I think for me personally, like when I get too high, like I have a conscious effort to like not like explode. Like it's like, yeah, like I'll enjoy the moment, but like I'm not going to go too crazy because it's just like I know that it's a possibility that the next thing I put out is not going to be received that on that level. So just like you got to keep whatever, like, I mean, everyone's different, but for me, that's what works. And that's what keeps me going because, yeah, there's going to be times when you put a lot of work into something and it doesn't get a really good response. So if you get too low on that, then you're only going to crush yourself.
Mm-hmm. And since moving back to Toronto from Ottawa, how's the process been? What's the temperature been like for you?
Oh, man, it's been pretty cool. Like, because in Ottawa, I was doing a lot of, like, engineering-type work. Mm. And coming to Toronto, I've been doing a lot of production, like, working with a lot of producers and making and creating. So, when I first started, my friends from here, like, they all started at the same time, but they stayed here. So they developed, and they've been working, and they've been getting their connects out here. So coming back here and being able to work with those guys, and like they introduced me to different people, having sessions with like different people from around the world and in the States and stuff, like it's been pretty cool, man. It's like Toronto's a really hot place right now for music, so it's good to just kind of be back and trying to like weave myself and back into the scene here. So it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think such a big part of success, and so many artists I talk to say it, is that peer group. And right now, Toronto is a great place where there's so many people that are doing different things, and it kind of lifts everybody up, right? Yeah. It's like this wave, so it's so important to find that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And depending on like what circle you're in, like it's like Toronto's big, but it's small. In the sense that once you're in the scene, you realize that everyone's kind of interconnected in some way. And so just... the biggest part is to get into the scene. That's kind of the most challenging part, especially like if you don't know anyone in the scene. But once you're in and you meet one person, that person's going to show you someone else and then someone else. And next thing you know, like, you know everyone. And that really, really helps because a lot of people here are getting their placements. They're getting their work done. They're getting places. So if you hang around people that are getting places, you're bound to get places too.
Yeah, I think, you know, half the battle is your skill and the work ethic you put in, and the other half is your connections. And I think it's like that balance, right? And I'm wondering, like, what has been the most fruitful part of your music career? Do you think it's been your devotion to the craft, or has it your connections, those relationships been the thing that really kind of will advance things greatly?
Oh, man, it's both. For me, at least for me personally, it's both. Because it's like the talent... I guess if I had to explain it from my eyes, it's like the talent will want to keep people wanting to work with you, but it's also your personality and how you can build connections is what will get you into the room. So it's like your connections will get you into the room, but your talent will help you remain in the room. Because it's like, yeah, I can know this person, they invite me to a session, but if I'm not good, they're not going to really want to bring me back. So it's a really sensitive divide, I guess, between both. Because you have to have the talent there, but you also can't neglect the communication aspect and like networking and just, you know, being a cool, chill person that people like to be around. So it's definitely both.
Yeah, that whole, the intangible of, yeah, how are you to be around. And I think artistic types by nature are a little more explosive, you know, a little more volatile, right? So it's tough to maybe keep your own personality when you have this intense focus, maybe to keep your personality in check. But you seem like a pretty, you know, cool customer. Like, you keep things pretty, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm pretty level, you know.
Is that by design or is that just your natural disposition?
No, I guess this is how I am, honestly. Like, I've heard it enough times to just realize that's just who I am. I'm not too over the top, not too low. It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Kind of like feed off. I more so feed off the energy that I'm given. So if I'm in a really energetic environment, then like that makes me energetic. If I'm in a really like you know, lower energy type environment, then like I know how to blend in there. So I guess that kind of helps because I can kind of fit like a chameleon in any environment. Whereas some people can only like be one way. So when they're in that right environment, like they're amazing to be around. But when they're in the opposite environment, people are like, oh, this guy's like either over the top, or this guy like doesn't, like he's too shy or whatever, you know, the case is. So I'm kind of in the middle, you know, like I blend in.
Adaptable. Yeah. I guess that's a pretty big, you know, yeah. That's a huge trait for, I think, you know, for any situation. If you can kind of read the room and not force your own energy on it, but be kind of aware of what's the best way for us all to coexist here.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, man. And, you know, we were kind of talking about peer group before. And I know you grew up with Daniel Caesar and, you know, talking about being in Toronto and being around good artists, you know, especially having a guy like that in your midst for however long you were made contact with them when you were younger. That's got to really help, you know what I mean? That's got to be a contributing factor to, you know, your own pursuits, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's like seeing where he's at right now, that's just so motivating, because to know that a guy that came kind of from the same fabric that I came up in, like, and to see where he could be, it makes me feel like there's no excuse for me not to be there at some point. Obviously he's an artist, I'm a producer, but it's like in the same realm, like I could be on that level. And it's not even just him, like, there's a couple other guys I grew up with that I've also reached that level too. So it's like, if they're there, why can't I be there? And that's kind of like my whole motto, I guess. It's like, if they're doing it, why can't I? So no matter how low I get, or like, however disappointed I might get at something, I realize, like, at the end of the day, man, those guys are there, there's no reason why I can't be there. And that kind of just keeps me going. It just keeps me going, because I mean, they're all talented. They all do their thing, and we all came from the same background. So it's like, why can't I do it?
Yeah, even a guy like Malcolm Subban, right?
That you knew
pretty well. And it's like, whether it's music or not, it's still the same underlying principles of you have something that you're passionate about, you're working hard at it, and you kind of be around that group of people, everybody's going to kind of adopt those positive influences.
Exactly. And it's the same thing, man. It's just, even with Malcolm, it's just like, you know, sitting in class with him like all the time, we crack jokes, all that kind of stuff. But it's like, fundamentally, we came from the same area at some point in our life, right? But it's a matter of where we want to be and how we work to get there. So if they got there, we came from the same fabric, why can't I be there? So it's all about putting the time in. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Do you see like the fundamental purpose of your life right now is career? Is that like the main orientation of your compass right now is career, would you say?
In terms of music?
In terms of like, so, you know, making a living and having a life aren't necessarily the same thing. Sometimes they go opposite directions. And like, I feel like right now I'm totally 100% all the eggs are in the let's make some kind of enterprise, some kind of career with my passion. And it's kind of at the sacrifice of some other aspects of my personal life. So would you say you're similar in that the fundamental kind of sight you're set on right now is your career?
Yeah. Absolutely. I would say so, yeah. The way I approach it is all priorities, right? So it's when I think about it and I think about aspects of my personal life and things that I might want to do, maybe, for example, the way I approach it right now in my life is like, if it takes time away from me establishing my career, what I want to do for the rest of my life, like how I'm going to sustain myself for the rest of my life, then I'm not going to prioritize that over what will launch me further into my career. It's the way I'm trying to live a life where I'm sustaining myself doing things that I want to do, things that I'm passionate about, like music, for example. And that just doesn't come. That's never handed to you. You have to work for that. So it's like when it comes down to establishing my career, it's like there's a lot of time that's going to have to be put into that. And that's kind of where I'm focusing on. Anything else that takes away from that, like, obviously give and take. Like, if it's family or whatever the case is, that's different. But if it's any little things that could possibly be taking time away from me establishing that, I'm most likely not going to trend that way. So right now, yes, like, career at this point in my life.
Yeah. And has it been, like, a bit of a learning curve in terms of managing those other elements of your personal life that, you know?
It is a curve, But it's not a steep curve, I would say, for me personally, because I'm going after something that I'm extremely passionate about. So it makes everything else come easy. It's like, if I know something's taking away from a career in music, which is something I'm really passionate about, it makes it so easy to curb it to the side, because it's like, yo, I want this music career so bad. So it's like, but yeah, it's like there are aspects where you got to learn. Like, you live and you learn. Sometimes you do something that's like, I probably shouldn't have done that. I wasted time. It's a waste of time. But then you learn. But the curve, I wouldn't say, is too crazy if you're doing something that you really, really want
to
do.
Yeah. Sometimes it's tough, though, because there is, you know, there's definitely more to life than just the career. But obviously, at this point in our lives, you know, young men, that is like what we're drifting to, and probably for a good reason. It's kind of what you need in order to kind of set the stage for the rest of your life to unfold, you know? So, yeah, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, sometimes those other elements of personal life, whether they're relationships, it does kind of pull, you can get sort of pulled away. But if you're that firmly rooted in this passion, then makes it ultimately the decision to
It makes it easier. And again, it comes down to time management. If you can do what you feel like you could put the hours that you got to put in into what you got to do, while you still have, you could still have like time to do things that you want to do and still be successful. But it all comes down to time management, right? And again, you mentioned like this is a really pivotal time in life right now, because like this moment, like these next maybe 5-10 years sets up pretty much the rest of your life in some cases. So like that's kind of the way I'm approaching it. That's why I'm taking it so seriously right now, because the time I put in now basically can determine what I'll be doing in my 50s and 60s potentially. So that's why I kind of like really want to focus now.
Yeah, it's such a highly coveted career path, and I think you can't, you know, go half speed if you expect to be one of those people that rise to the top.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, you can say, yeah, you know, if you manage your time properly, you can fit other things in, but that depends on how, you know, certain you are. If you're gonna shave out 20% of your day for other stuff, it's like maybe you need to go 100%. If you, so it's tough to make that call, especially when, you know, does your confidence ever wane at all? Do you ever go, because I go through those highs where I'm like, you know, this is a, you know, I got this, and then the other lows where you're like, it seems like a million miles away. Do you kind of, maybe not to those extremes, but do you kind of alternate there?
Yeah, of course, of course. That's like life. That's like, you have to go through those. Like, there's times when it's like, again, like, yeah, like, I'm going to make it. And there's times like, oh, man, this is tough. Like, I don't even know if I want to do this. But again, it's like, it comes back to, like, not letting the highs get too high and not letting the lows get too low. Obviously, like, not letting the lows get too low, it doesn't mean that you can't get low. But it's like, don't let it get too low to a point where now you're not doing this anymore. Right, it's like you get low, but you have to find those things that will motivate you to get back into it. And if you love what you're doing enough, it won't take that much to get back into it. It might be like, you know, take 2 or 3 sleeps, you know, 2 or 3 days, and like that next day you wake up and you're like, yo, I gotta get back into the studio, or whatever the case is. Or you might hear a song that you're like, man, like, I gotta get back into this. And then it's just like those little things will get you back on track.
We have a production, a professor who teaches us like how to use Pro Tools and stuff. His name's Kyle Taylor. Mm-hmm. He works for Indie 88. He's like the creative director there. And he said that when I interviewed him, he's like, you know, it's like you have a creative well. And as in a creative industry, you're always like pouring your, you know, the contents of your soul out. And if you don't take time in your life to take a step back and recharge, you know, go soak in life rather than constantly providing, then you know, it's essential to like fill that reservoir back up, because you can't just keep taking stuff from your creative well. You're gonna go bone dry, you know.
Exactly. And that's why it's also important to take those breaks, right? It's not, you can't look at it as like, breaks are just as important as you putting time in, as long as they're calculated breaks. Because if you just keep going non-stop, especially in music or anything creative, you're going to realize that that period in time, everything sounds the same. You need time to take a step back and realize, like, yo, you need to find some new inspiration, kind of get things going differently. Because when I take a break and I go back, I realize like, I'm just on a totally different wave. Whereas, like, if when I'm hammering things out, like, day after day after day, and I look back at all the things I made, like, they could be cool and whatnot, but I'm like, they're all kind of similar. Like, they're all kind of the same. So, and then when that well goes dry, it's like, it's kind of discouraging, because for me personally, like, when that well goes dry, I want to hear some stuff I've done recently and like remotivate myself. But when it all sounds the same and it's not to the standard that you really, really want to be at, it's kind of even more discouraging. So it's important to take calculated breaks and anything that's creative, like I feel, because the breaks help you recharge, as you said, and helps you get different perspective and helps you attack it fresh again.
Yeah, it can be kind of hesitant, though, to do the brakes, because by definition, like, think of like a car brakes, like you're slowing everything down, and it's tough once you take that break to get this train back up to speed. Yeah. But you can be on, you know, a lot of the time I describe my work ethic, it's like you're on this like high speed train, and it's almost like you're just along for the ride.
Right.
But yeah, sometimes like if you're on this train ride, like you're just making stuff that's very kind of in the same vein, and it's, you need to get off on a new train in a, you know, a different direction.
Yeah,
so
different
not everything
direction.
Is so you know, monotone.
Yeah I guess the way I look at the breaks is more so in if I had to have an analogy, it's more so like working out, right? Like if you lift weights every day, like at max, you're eventually gonna damage your body. Whereas if that other guy that lifts weights and takes the breaks that he has to take and allows his body to recharge, he's not going to break his body and he's going to build faster than you. So I feel like that's the essential part of the breaks that I feel is when you allow your body to recharge, allow your mind to get refreshed, and you attack it again, and you could attack it even harder the next time because you're coming with fresh perspective. And you take a break again at some point whenever you feel you need to take a break. And eventually in the long run, if you made two copies of yourself, one that went all 24 hours a day and the guy that took those breaks, the guy who takes the breaks is going to get further. He's going to have fresher content. His stuff's going to be more dynamic. He's going to want to keep going. He's going to be fresher. Whereas the other guy's going to be like, all this stuff might sound the same. He's going to run out of motivation. He's going to feel like he can't do it anymore. So the calculated breaks are important.
Yeah, it's a good analogy, because think about when somebody stops working out, you know, they take a day off, they have protein, they give their body what it needs to come back to that work process stronger. And
yeah.
If you don't ever like take the break to refuel, and you know, maybe the analogy for an artist is to just go experience life, you know, that's your protein.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
give your body what it needs to go back to that grindstone
yeah.
with the resources you need to really go deep, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's good. It's a fun analogy. Yeah, man, you had that project Escape, and I'm wondering if you have anything else in the works, man. Like,
oh man, it's crazy. Yes, it's crazy. It's been over a year since I released that.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on that project though, that was like, yeah, really, really cool and like really different. I heard you working on it in the house. You know, you had like the moon theme and just kind of going with that whole metaphor for the project. It's really cool, man.
Yeah, like that came out of. Okay, as a producer, a lot of producers sometimes get stuck in the realm where you can only get as far as the artist that you want to work with, in the sense because, right, when a song comes out, it comes out with an artist or whatever the case is, and sometimes you give artists beats, they take forever to come out, whatever they want to come out with, whatever. So for me, in that project, it was more so like, I just need to release something on my own terms. So that was the motivating factor behind that, because I don't need an artist to wait on. I don't need anything. It's when it comes out when I want it to come out, and I just needed a form of release, and that was kind of where that came from. And then going forward, I've started working on something. I haven't put the official plans around it yet. But yeah, I guess you could say I am working on something that I'm hoping to release by next year. I kind of started it at the beginning of this year, and I kind of put it to the side. But I think I'm going to go back at it and like really try and get it out by hopefully early next year.
To have one project that's kind of all in the same, because I'm sure you have like little things you've done over time, and maybe they're not necessarily related. But yeah, to have one project like the Escape thing, that's one continuous
yeah,
whole of a project.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, because I guess as a producer, I kind of have like a more, I guess, movie director type of style, where like I try to paint in a whole picture with like, you know, like intro or climax and ending, whether it be in a song or in a body of music. So yeah, it will be very continuous. It'll kind of have like an emotional type feel to it, and you'll feel like you're being carried through something with this next project.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. Every like micro level of the project is coming together for one fully functioning
yeah
thing.
Precisely.
That's it's really cool, man. And yeah, like within every song, there is the, you know, the story, the climax of every song, and then
In the bigger picture,
yeah, every song fits in. Yeah. That's really cool, man. All right, that's it, man. I really appreciate you coming in.
No problem at all.
You know, that was the last big question. What's on the horizon? So we got a project to look out for. That's good news,
absolutely,
man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
Not a problem, man.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the fuck he wants.
I'm shutting the studio down.